This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
The podcast no one asked for, but you want it anyway. It's the Bits and Pieces Podcast.
Well, we're back, everybody. It is indeed another episode of the Bits and Pieces Podcast. Jess really thinks it's funny.
I just think how laissez-faire, like, we're back. We haven't done a podcast in a year.
No, that's not true.
How long?
We did one in May.
Yeah. We did one in May. Joey Molinaro joined us, but that was our only other one this year.
It really was?
Yes, because when I went back to do a sheet for this one, it was... I didn't do a sheet for Joey's because we were just talking about race and stuff and the Indianapolis 500 race.
Oh, I was like,
and the previous one I had done was the Christmas one a year ago of the podcast. So joining us over there with the deep voice and the gorgeous beard is Jeff Oskay. Hi,
that's
Jeff.
Right. Hi, thanks for having me, everybody.
Yeah, glad that you joined us. We have Jessica Alsman as well, apparently needing some makeup on or something and put the wrong one on. She put the wrong makeup on, Jeff.
The girls have different color foundation and concealer, and I put on the When I'm Tan foundation or whatever. So then my whole mouth area and nose was just like a brown circle. It didn't match, so sorry. I tried.
I didn't notice it. From girl to girl, I think you're okay.
Yeah, you're fine.
That's something a girl might tell another girl, though, so she looks bad. In my head, I'm thinking that. I don't trust anybody.
Always thinking worse. Yes, we know.
I'm not that girl, but...
I know you're not.
And my girl, Jessie's here. You've been doing the beanie a lot lately.
Not washing my hair a lot.
But it looks good.
Thanks. I'm getting all the colors. Yeah. This is my holiday. I went with the bright green. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
I like it.
Thanks.
I like it. Alsman's wearing her big hoodie. I think her and Donnie could fit in there.
You got a little good
right.
hoodie.
Mm-hmm. Not that Donnie.
No, not that Donnie.
The other Donnie.
We are going to celebrate Ron Sexton this episode, as well as play a few Christmas bits of his that he did as Donnie Baker. Mm-hmm. It's been about 5 months. It's been a little weird, I would say, from my perspective, because... For those who didn't know, Ron did not live here with us in the nearby area for quite a few years.
About 10 years, yeah.
Actually, maybe 12.
Oh, really?
It's been a while.
Yeah.
But every couple months, he would show up. Sometimes we didn't know he was in town. And all of a sudden, he would turn the corner and he'd say hey to me. And full disclosure, he and I were always working on the next Donnie Baker album. So he and I were in contact quite a bit, and, you know, he would text, hey, that was a good call today, yada, yada, yada. So it's been 5 months, and I'm still kind of waiting for him to turn the corner and see him. Unfortunately, he will not be doing that, but I find myself, kind of bummed at times when I realize that's not going to happen. But the beautiful thing is he had a hell of a run with his characters and his call-ins, and dare I say it's cliche, but they'll live forever for us anyway. So we'll have a little joy with some of those bits today.
I knew we were going to talk about Donnie today. We were going to talk about Ron today, but when you just said it like that,
yeah.
When you don't hear his voice every day, regardless if you don't see him every day, we heard him every day. He was a part of our everyday lives. And I know he was a part of your guys', the listeners. Mm-hmm. But like you said, you worked with Ron on an album. That's just like, that's an evolving thing that happens throughout the year. But Jeffy wrote for Ron every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can't imagine the absence that has left, not only as a friend, but, you know, as a creative partner. Like, that's just, we see each other every day, and I think we take it for granted how much we are a part of each other's families. Like, when we say Bob and Tom family, like, that's not a joke. Like, it is as dysfunctional as it is our family. And when one of our key players isn't here anymore, it's,
There's a void.
There's
it
a
sucks.
Huge void.
Yeah.
Which is... why the show doesn't constantly bring him up and play Donnie stuff, because imagine how the people in the room feel.
If, exactly.
Like, you can't, like, no one's forgetting about him. I feel like there's been a lot of random, not the people listening to this, but you're beautiful people. Mm-hmm. But there are people that just like to be like, you guys are forgetting about him. Oh, hell no.
We think
no
about him is. All the time.
It's just, it's hard. Yeah. It's hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
And also, when you dealt with him professionally, is because he did a lot of spots for you.
Oh, yeah.
You
know,
there's a lot
up,
of background
like, hey,
stuff that people didn't realize
Donnie
happened.
Donnie Baker would also do commercials for clients. And again, no one can do a commercial like him because he could get away with saying anything.
Yeah.
Even when I would try to write a script for him, and I end up doing like, you can't write like, and I don't know how, I'd have to go to Jeff a lot, like, what would Donnie say in this situation? But like whenever I do, it's like you're in the voice, you're trying to do like the imitating him. And I'm like, I have no idea where to go. So I'd put in parentheses, like, just do something about this. And it said he'd do something completely off the wall. And I'm like, never mind. That was way better. You're a genius. Thank you for knowing. But like, no, he was always great to work with. And he was so kind, like never a diva. I've worked with local people that could be divas. And it's like,
Yeah.
Not these people, other local people.
Right,
but,
right.
You know, it's like, gosh, dang.
Yeah. Just, he was one of a kind.
Good dude.
And somewhat spoiler alert, there could be one more album coming out next year.
That's exciting.
And it's not just a Donnie thing. It's sort of just celebrating Ron and all he did. Of course, Donnie was his flagship character, if you would.
Yeah.
But if you saw my tweet back in probably late July, early August, I kind of did a list of all the things that he did do, because he was more than Donnie Baker. So I'm going to try to find and go through the archives and put together a fun little hour plus of a few Donnies for sure. But, you know, the Floyds, the Kinneys, I mean, he had little eras of just, he did this, you know, Tommy Lee Jones would call in.
Yeah.
You know, there was a time Robert Devane, do you remember him? The guy who did Gold, and he'd always exit the call with a plane flying away. It's just these wild, weird stuff.
Yeah.
So hopefully next year sometime, hopefully before the summer, I'll put that together. I'm putting it together for myself, but also for his family. Because his kids, you know, they lived in Florida, as I said, not here. They lived down in Florida. And his kids knew of Donnie Baker, but they didn't really get to hear the show much.
Yeah.
So they don't really know what all Ron did. Obviously, we do.
Right.
And the listeners kind of do, and they appreciate that. So I'm kind of doing it for everybody.
And his kids are currently running his website, DonnieBaker.com, and they have some tribute merchandise items. If you're interested, go to DonnieBaker.com.
So, well, let's just hit it right now. We actually have our holiday party this Monday, right?
Yeah.
We just found out about that, and there's an awkward poster out there. Actually, it's one right behind Jess.
I love it.
With Tom as the as his puppet.
What is that? What is that, though? Like, you know how you're, like, everybody's dad has that thing that they do that you're like, Dad, why do you do that? It's not necessary, but it brings them so much joy. And that's how Tom is with these posters. He loves
the puppets.
Them. And the puppets. He loves them so much. I was walking in this morning and he was putting three posters in the lobby. Our lobby's not that big, but he was out there with the scotch tape hanging up the posters and he could not have been happier. And I was so happy to see him happy.
He did one poster for every person in the building.
Well, we're probably going to take one home.
They're all right here.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So so we can maybe talk about holiday party horror stories after this if you want. But right now, here's Donnie Baker with his holiday party tips.
Hey, Bob and Tom. It's Donnie Baker, man. Heard you guys talking about your office holiday party. Man, if your party's anything like ours, it sucks. I swear to God it does, because our company's like every other company in the world now. Too careful, afraid of getting sued, and passing out drink tickets. Goodbye to the open bar. Man, I'm so sick of drink tickets, I'm going to give you a few tips on how to get around it. Number one, man, stop at a Chuck E. Cheese or something before you go to your party.
Oh.
They're going to pass out drink tickets, you're going to bring your own. Play some skee ball, some pop a shot, or if little kids ain't paying attention, take their tickets. The exchange rate at Chuck E. Cheese is amazing. I mean, for like 25 tickets, you get a plastic set of vampire teeth. No. But at your party, that's like a 12-pack. I swear to God it is. They have to take those tickets. State law. Here's another tip. BYOBB. That's right, man. Bring your own beer bong. Oh. Man, there's nothing more rude than sharing your toys with people you don't know or don't like anyways. Yeah. And sharing your beer bong spreads germs. Mm-hmm. I swear to God it does. I got the flu last year, man. And I know it was you, Jamie, because you carry more pus than a caterpillar. Oh. I'll say it right to your face. Oh. Here's another tip. Run a 50-50. Walk around a party with a mason jar and take collections for a raffle. If someone asks what you're doing, just say your boss approved it. Nobody's going to have the balls to ask him anyways. Mm-hmm. By the end of the night, everybody's so drunk, they won't even remember you had a raffle. You'll turn your 50-50 into 100% commission.
Wow.
I made $4,000 at our holiday party last year. Hello. I swear to God I did. Then lost it all in a riverboat 2 days later. It's a circle of life. Oh, and never dress up. Man, everybody makes this mistake. Your bosses will notice. I swear to God they will. They'll figure if you can afford Nikes, they might be paying you too much. Hell, I wear work boots and a white snake sweatshirt every year. I don't get a raise, but they don't cut my pay either. Also, man, never drive a car to your holiday party. Oh. Be smart. Rent a van. It's cheaper than getting a last-second hotel room. And you know you're going to use it. Heck, even if you don't use it, renting out your buddies. Man, I get cramped in cars anymore. And last year, Betty from accounting almost kicked out my windshield.
Ooh.
Get a van. There's more headroom. That way you can stand up. And if you're like me, use the rearview mirror to check your work once in a while. Uh-huh. And last but not least, bring a camera. It's a holiday party. I mean, especially if your company is one of those few that has an open bar, you're going to be set for life. This ain't for keeping a scrapbook, man. It's for the gift that keeps on giving. Blackmail. I swear to God it works. Blackmail. Uh-huh. And how bionic is that, Randy? Turns out that's exactly what your picture featured anyways. I thought you said Ramon was Puerto Rican, Randy. Randy's got jungle favors.
Give me back that picture, Donnie.
No, give me next Saturday off.
I want that picture.
Ain't yours.
Yes, it is.
No, it ain't.
Yes, it is.
Give me next weekend off.
Give me that picture
ain't
back.
Ain't yours.
I love was one of his favorite numbers $4,000. Like everything he did, he made $4,000. Yeah. Like $4,000, I don't, inflation or not, that's a lot of money sitting in a redneck's pocket, right?
Yeah. One of my favorites, and I think he just started doing it in the last year or two, was when he goes, I'll bet you 50, 20, $12. Like he realized how much money he had on him.
Okay.
He was making way too big of a bet.
Right,
I
right,
bet
right.
you $14.
Oh, yeah, so I love it. He the drink ticket thing. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm not a drinker, so we'd get drink tickets, mm-hmm. and I'd be like, you know, towards the end of the night, I'm like, all right, who's needing drink tickets mm-hmm. at one of these? Because we
did you sell
some,
them?
I would never sell them. No,
he would just lord over the place.
Right?
Who
yes.
shall I?
Yeah.
Well, we haven't had a big Christmas party here that had
that. Yeah. When was the last time we had like a true office Christmas party to where there's probably legalities involved? Yeah, like we could have.
I wasn't here when the mingling of this side and the other side, if that makes sense. The big, big one.
Right.
There was some that were tame that were hosted by the station when
well,
I was here.
Yeah.
And that was before
my early days, there were some pretty wild ones.
Back there?
Yeah.
Yeah. The ones we used to have at the country club.
Yeah. I remember a couple cool casino nights. Did you ever go to the casino nights? And they had great prizes, too.
Yeah, it was
and it was kind of cool because you're basically gathering money, like play money, to then buy tickets for the big prizes.
Yeah.
And eventually the dealers are like, oh, you hit, you're just winning everything. Mm-hmm. It was the best casino ever.
Did you ever see any fights at the ones you went to?
I've heard of the shoe getting thrown or something. I think I witnessed that. Some of them that Chick talked about on the air, I did not witness.
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't.
Like thrown of a, like a
there was a rock
splash
thrown, yeah.
Yes. The rock, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't witness those, mm-hmm. which I'm usually not around those people, mm-hmm. if you will. You know, the fighters.
Yeah. At the very first Christmas party I was here, I was an intern, which I don't... Not only do we not invite interns, we're not allowed to have interns anymore. So it was at Crackers Comedy Club. That was the very first one in Broad Ripple. And oh my gosh.
Who performed? Was that the Roy Wood Jr.?
That would have been 2002.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't think that was Roy, was it?
Yeah. I remember. I don't remember what the years of the, but we had quite a few there for a while.
Yeah.
And it was a packed house.
It was. Everybody was there.
Because people were bringing their significant others or just girlfriends. And whoo. Yeah, some of those.
And people they wanted to impress. And
yes.
Yeah, a lot of overflow.
A lot of overflow.
Yeah.
Chris, I enjoy the Christmas party. I do. Even Monday will be pretty low key for us. But
yeah, the Christmas party versus the Christmas luncheon are two very different events.
Yes.
I get hammered at both. So I'm Ubering them on Monday.
Talk about BYO beer bong. Yeah.
Jeff, you used to work for a brokerage firm. Did they ever have good Christmas parties?
No, but the building I worked in housed a salon.
Yeah.
Oh. And I got invited to their Christmas parties, and whoa.
Yep.
A salon?
Yes.
Yeah, I walked in a room. I was like, oh, I don't want to be in this house right now.
Yeah.
We're all going to jail. And left.
Okay, well, it wasn't like that, but I know that Eddie's wife used to throw iconic Christmas parties for her salon.
Really?
Christine did.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah, I had two girls that I went to high school with that worked for her, and that was the party to be at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Was Eddie the bartender?
I don't think. I bet Eddie was probably like switching out plates and electrical sockets and light bulbs.
Or I mean, maybe playing slap in the bass or something.
He could have been
jingle bells.
Yeah, his band. Maybe his band was there. I don't know.
I've only seen Eddie play once on stage.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that might have been at a Christmas party at an old little place. Him and Michael Young. Michael Young used to be with us. He was singing a Led Zeppelin song or something.
I only saw Eddie play when him and I think him and Jimbo, it was towards the end of them being roommates. And I was over at Jimbo's house. Yeah. And Eddie was playing there.
I saw Eddie.
This is so obscure.
Play the Vogue.
Really?
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh,
it was in the memorial service for Deuce.
Oh, okay.
So he was up there playing.
Wow.
Yeah, Deuce was he was a DJ on one of our sister stations here in the building. Mm-hmm. And that's right. Yeah, I didn't go to that, but you did, yes.
I sure did.
And Eddie played, do you remember what he was playing?
I don't know, the bass?
Oh,
like
was
what
he just
songs?
Playing bass? Okay, yeah.
I think it was a bass.
So he was playing bass. Okay.
But cool. I was like, woohoo, I know him. Taking a photo.
Eddie can do it all. And by the way, we're not just supposed to say Eddie. We're supposed to say Employee of the Year, Eddie.
Oh, I was going original OG Eddie, which was Eddie with the sexy eyes.
Or sexy Eddie. Eddie Van Hazel, they were calling.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, I was introduced to him as Eddie with the sexy eyes. Do not look directly in his eyes, you'll fall in love.
I saw a video of an old Christmas party from here a couple weeks ago.
Really?
And Eddie did not have a shirt on.
Stop
and
it.
Eddie was a good-looking dude. He looks horrible now. But, oh, my God. Back in the day.
He had hair.
Oh, my God. He was a gorgeous man.
He is a good-looking
man. And he fell off hard.
And that was the bit. These girls got enamored with him.
Yes. And because he is completely, like, just could not be more uninterested in any woman in that way other than his wife. Like, he loves Christine. Mm-hmm. And so women, like the worst kind of women, are more drawn to that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'll break him.
I can get him.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, our next bit is it's a Christmas letter to the Bob and Tom Show. So do you all ever remember writing a Christmas letter to Santa?
Yeah. It's kind of, it's one of those iconic stories that was so traumatic that we don't retell it. But I kind of wrote one that said, can I go with you when you come and bring my presents?
Yeah, don't give me anything. Just
can you just
take
me up? Yeah, I'll be in the front yard.
So,
like, just when you swing through, I'm just going to.
So let me set the scenario here. You write this letter, put it in an envelope.
Oh, no, I hid it. Like, I thought, like, man, Santa just knows. Like, I'm not putting it out there. Like, I'm not going to put this out there and get my ass beat the night before Christmas, okay? Like, I'm smarter than that.
Okay.
And so it was, but my mom eventually found it.
Oh, I was going to say, that was a smart thing. You're like, no, he's magical. He'll find it.
Oh, no, yeah, no, I know how to navigate it. And, but still, did not hide it well enough.
And how was the reaction?
Not good. It was suspended until the day after Christmas.
Well,
so,
that was nice.
Yeah.
Oh, so she saw
so
it pre.
Nice.
She did see it pre Christmas.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was good.
Santa was like, "Look, I can't. Sorry, I can't. She's gonna beat my ass."
Exactly. That was kind of the year I stopped believing.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Santa's like, "Have you met your mom?" I'm not dealing with that.
I can't have that on my record.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So similarly, I envision you going to the mall to sit on Santa's lap.
Sure.
And you're like, oh, little girl, what would you like? And you kind of say, you know, Barbie or something. You kind of lean into to whisper into his ear.
Yeah.
Please take me.
Can you just, geez. Yeah.
Can you please?
Not
just
that way.
No.
That Santa went to jail.
I bet there is a lot of Santas in jail if we think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you, Osmond? Did you write any letters to Santa?
Oh, probably. I was like, I want toys and candy. Mm-hmm. Please. Thank you.
Always candy with you.
I got my Donnie Dew here, my Donnie Baker Mountain Dew. Actually, it's... Yeah.
There you go.
What do you have to... What did he... What was the Hillbilly Jaeger Bomb?
Was it Mountain Dew and...
Fireball.
And Fireball?
PBR?
Oh,
Or not PBR.
Just Bud Light, maybe?
Oh, crap.
I doubt it was
Oh, my Bud God. Light. It was a beer.
Yeah,
it was just a beer?
It's probably whatever beer he had
crap,
at the club.
But it was like... But he always asked for the same ones. Because I talked to someone, they were talking about Donnie's rider, and he was so easy to work with. It's like, I just need this and this.
Yeah, that was... That's, and it was just a cheap beer, I think, whatever
crap.
It was.
Oh, crap. I'm going to kick my ass.
The Fireball was more backstage. Yeah.
Was it PBR or was it Natty?
I feel like it was one of the lesser.
Miller Lights?
Yeah. Lower, not the big, nope. Yeah. But who knows?
Hillbilly Jaeger Bomb.
I know,
Right in your
wonderful.
Face.
Right in your face. Jeff, what about you and Santa? What kind of relationship did you have with him?
Oh, man, I have a 10-minute bit about it. I won't go into it. I didn't like Santa because what I asked him for, I did not get.
Mm.
And so I ended up throwing a fit that Christmas that Santa dicked me over.
Oh.
And that's why I did not do Santa Claus with my kid because I wanted him to know where stuff came from and I wanted him to appreciate it.
You wanted the credit, didn't you?
Yeah. Hell yeah, man. I was landscaping. That's hard work. I want him to know where it comes from.
Do you know how many pounds of mulch I laid down for this? Yeah.
Well, no. Long story short, I wanted a Haro trick bike, which you probably remember. Back when I was younger, kids would ride BMX trick bikes.
Okay.
And all my friends in the neighborhood had really nice bikes, and I didn't. And so I asked for it, and I wrote to Santa and cut out pictures. I was good all year. And then I came down, and the bike I wanted wasn't there. Instead, it was this big blue bike with a yellow banana seat.
Oh, no.
Ape hangers.
Straight from Kmart.
And, oh, no. That would have been great. My parents were poor, and come to find out, after I kicked the bike over and went upstairs and cried for the next 3 hours, that I found out later on, my dad had built that bike because they didn't have the money to buy me a bike. So he stayed after work for like 3 months.
No way.
He bent the frame. He painted the frame. He stitched.
Welded it and everything.
He stitched the banana seat.
Wow.
He made the fringe on the on the stuff. And I kicked all of his hard work over.
Okay, well, they buried the lead. They should have opened with that.
Well, the thing was, I thought Santa had dicked me over because...
Oh.
And had my parents been honest with me about where stuff came from, I would have lied to
them
and tell them I like that piece of crap.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
But because they didn't.
You're a horrible child. Yes.
So that's my
Santa. That's amazing.
That's all right.
Amazing.
Yeah.
But you...
I still hate that bike.
Is it still around?
It's still hanging up on my dad's wall. Well, parts of it are hanging up in my dad's garage.
Yeah, people collect those. People our age collect those bikes now.
Yeah, come to find out.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah, he hand-painted the bike.
No way.
He bent the frame. He welded it.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
Yeah.
But did you eventually fall in love with that bike once you started riding it?
No. I wanted a trick bike.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That's like, oh, did you fall in love with the, Gremlin that your parents got you after you asked for a Maserati? No, I didn't. I just dealt with it. No.
But it helped you as a parent because if your child ever reacted, you're like, okay, it's okay. I did this too. He doesn't understand. Or
no, I'm dead serious. I did not do Santa with my kid.
Yeah.
And he thought I was lying. He's like, so the kids at school
are
all, and I go, yeah, their parents are all liars.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't believe you.
Oh, man, I couldn't do that. I'm like, well, we're Jewish for now.
anything to not
But I tell you what, that's a one. You're playing the long game as a parent because eventually he finds out something. And then he's like, oh, my dad's been telling me the truth all right. this time.
Well, one time I got mad because we got out and the horrible double we lived in, the chimney was falling apart. And so there were bricks on the roof. And he goes, hey, I think Santa broke our chimney. I go, there's not a Santa.
Oh, that's how it just came
out. I go, I've told you 50 times there's not a Santa. And he goes, no, he did that. he wasn't going to, he refused to believe that there wasn't a Santa. Yeah.
We just never mentioned it. Like when other people were like, oh, I was threatened with Santa Claus. Like my mom was the all cancel Christmas mom, right? Okay. And so always. And so I was just like, we just never like, this is Christmas and there's people dressed up like Santa Claus. And like, it's not a, we just never, they just, it wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
But it also wasn't not a thing. Like right. it was just, okay, whatever. Yeah.
I had a little sister. So I think at the time, I was a good brother.
Oh, yeah.
When you're younger. And I think I just let it be and her have it.
Right. And idiot.
I know.
I also, though, from a young age, I was very...
oh, my God.
I never understood why Santa brought my rich friends way better presents than I got.
Yeah.
Like, I was. You're
too always attentive
found
to
that.
Believe.
Oh, yeah. I was like, hey, he got a whole Nintendo. Right? I got a Commodore 64.
That and that kid's a dick.
Yeah. Yeah. He's been a jerk all year, and he got the best stuff. Like, what's up, Santa? Come on.
All right. Well, let's see what Donnie Baker has to say to the Bob and Tom Show here.
Hello. We here at the Bob and Tom Show received a letter that we'd like to share with you. And so, in the spirit of the season, here it is. From a little 8-year-old Virginia Hanlon. Dear Bob and Tom Show, I am 8 years old. Some of my little friends say, there is no Santa Claus. Papa says, if you hear it on the Bob and Tom Show, it's true. So, please tell me the truth. Is there a Santa Claus? Signed, Virginia O'Hanlon.
Dear Virginia, your little friends are wrong. If I were you, I'd stand up and tell them right to their face. Think about it. These are probably the same kids who like to sit in the front of the bus anyways. They probably only believe in things that they can see. That's just crazy to me, man. I mean, think about it. I can't see my own butt, but does it exist? Yes, Virginia, and there is a Santa Claus. I swear to God there is. He exists as much as all the other real heroes, man, like Gene Simmons, Evel Knievel, and Hulk Hogan. Some people don't believe in fairies. Do they exist? Of course, man. Heck, I went to school with one, and I seen him at the mall last week, and he still wears a fanny pack. Look it up. So tell your friends to be quiet about it, Virginia. Plus, I got proof about Santa Claus anyways. When I was 12, man, I left him a full bag of Funyuns. When I woke up the next morning, the whole thing was gone. And ask your loser friends that a Santa don't exist and explain who all the midgets at the North Pole are working for anyways.
They're not midgets, Donnie. They're elves.
Why don't you shut up, Randy, or I'll make sure Janet from Accountant parks her cold sword-covered lips under the mistletoe when you walk by. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. So go tell your little friends that if they can't get on board with the idea of Santa, they ought to move out of the country anyways. I mean, Santa's good people. He don't need this, man. And P.S., what's with your parents naming you after a state? I mean, Virginia ain't a bad name, but be careful. I think state names are bad luck anyways. I mean, look what happened to River Phoenix. I gotta go.
That's a little rough.
That's gold. That's why I love Donnie.
Right.
He could get away with saying the most horrible things. Mm-hmm. And
he's wrong. Obviously, right. There's no, you know, it's named after a state, you know, River Phoenix.
Yeah.
That's a state. No, Donnie, it's not. But boy, he's confident.
Oh, it's like one of our favorites, mm-hmm. Wisconsin.
Well, yeah, Eastconsin and Wisconsin.
Eastconsin and Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little shout out to our Wisconsin fans mm-hmm. up there. They were wonderful in November. So much so that we actually got a lot of feedback about the Bits and Pieces podcast, which is kind of why I kind of like, hey, maybe we ought to do one.
Yeah,
we were
borderline accosted about
at times.
The
at times, yeah.
Yeah, I think Alzman still is being slightly accosted.
I love it. Accost me. There was one woman that just heard like Jason's voice, and she's like, oh, I know that voice.
Yeah.
Was that the sisters?
Yeah. One girl drove in from New York.
She flew in.
Oh, wow.
She
flew in, and they drove from their parents' house to the show. How's that?
But it was nice. It's like she came in. She was going to come home anyway for Thanksgiving, but she came in like almost an entire week early to come to the show.
To support her sister, who's a big fan. She's not recognized your voice.
Yeah.
Whoa. I think they both were fans, though, right?
I think so, yeah.
That's awesome.
But it is funny to hear. I mean, you three are on the air a lot. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They don't know my voice. So when someone
you've
goes, I know your
real
voice.
Listen. Yeah, you've got to love it.
But that crowd was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the morning, the two shows at night, in spite of that second show.
Yes.
I mean, that second show was they were it was a long day for our people.
Yes.
Let's just say that.
Yes.
And,
and Jeffy missed it. Sorry,
I
Jeffy.
Know.
We missed
man,
you.
Dude.
We missed
in
you.
My head, that was going to be my highlight of my life.
Yeah.
I was going to kill it. Tom was going to see how amazing I was on stage, and I was going to be offered my own radio show. And I missed out on it because of COVID.
Osmond and I would have enjoyed you at the roulette table
That's
as
right.
well.
I learned roulette, and I was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Really?
I might lose, but I was also winning. So
she was winning while losing.
Oh, really?
The whole time.
I ended up being up 24 hours. I think it was 3 a.m., and we were on the casino floor, and Jason's like, in good conscience, I cannot leave you down here.
I can't leave
by
you
yourself.
Here.
And I was like, no, doing so well.
I'm still winning. No.
I thought you were going to say you were up 24,000.
I thought you were
going to say hell no. I might have been up $24. Willie at one point was up $800, as he informed me a few times. And then I won't follow up after that. But I did see him quite a few times on the floor after midnight as well.
Really? I did not gamble at all while we were there. I just, I don't know how to do it. I don't know. It's just, it scares me a little bit.
Well, she wanted to learn roulette. We had a really great dealer, spinner,
yes.
whatever you want to call them.
The first time,
The
right?
first time,
right.
yeah. And
I learned
she was
a lot
learning.
Of rules. Don't
she
touch learned, it. Don't
yes,
touch it.
Don't touch this. She goes, well, he said, well, you can also put it here on this line and cover this line. And she's learning all these
I
things.
I didn't know this.
We
There's
were having
quarters.
Fun. And we were having fun with our friends that we met from Illinois.
Darren were, and Tori.
Tori and Darren. And having a great time. And then this guy had to clock out.
How many rounds do you think we did? Like 15, 12?
Oh, easily 20.
Yeah?
Easily 20.
I hit something every time. I could not lose.
She was still losing.
Well, if you
place
40 bets and one of them hits, you're still losing.
I'll teach you about some sports betting here in a second. You will hit eventually. And it doesn't take much. However, what happened when the Ice Queen came back?
Yeah.
Whoa, we had a new dealer.
This new dealer came in and she was spinning quick. She was wiping the thing and she didn't care if one of Alsman's chips was leaning one way or another. Didn't clarify.
I was rushed and it was like, what's going on? Okay. Threw him out there.
So then I don't know the name of this listener, but all of a sudden he saw two spins.
Yeah.
And he sidled up beside
me. Well, the first spin happened. I didn't hit anything.
Right.
And I go, what happened?
Yeah.
They're like, you lost.
Yeah.
Oh.
Everything.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Not all of her money.
Everything
but
they had out there.
Everything out there. Yeah. So then a second one, and then you could just tell there was something about this lady.
Yeah.
And this guy sidled up to me, I guess. And
he's like, sidler. He was a sidler?
Damn it. And he's like, get out.
Literally.
She's terrible.
Because my chip, the one that was on the line, like everyone knew.
Yeah.
Everyone there knew. And I kept acknowledging the cameras above me and talking to them because that's how I am. I'm always, I didn't mean to do that. I'm not touching the board. I'm sorry. Because they're worried about $20 maybe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But whatever.
And she's afraid like the
security
the
can carry me out.
The floor boss is going to come out there and sweep her up.
She put a dollar chip on this corner. But really, she didn't because it's not touching the line. And we analyzed it and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but that's a real thing. Like an icer? Isn't that real? Like they send them out to people? Yeah.
She was the cooler. And then I bounced. You know what sucks?
No.
So I felt bad because I don't want to be rude to the dealer and just leave right away. So I kept playing and I kept losing. And then eventually we called it.
You gotta just go.
Yeah.
So then at the end of the night, after the two comedy shows, there weren't as many dealers out there and they did not have the live roulette table going.
Right.
So we played the one that's connected to the computers, but it's still it's still an actual ball rolling. So she didn't have to deal with a dealer.
That's right.
Idea.
And we did that for like 3 hours.
It was very fun. I'm very good.
Wow.
Not really.
It was a good time, though.
That is fun. I would love to learn something that I would like to play.
You know,
maybe.
I really wish that Ron, after we did the live shows, he would always be on the floor and like playing, not blackjack? I'm sorry. Yeah, blackjack.
Yeah, probably blackjack.
Probably.
And I'd remember seeing him on the floor. It's like I would have loved to have been able to like, hey, I want to play at your table.
Yeah.
But I probably would have messed it up. So.
Yeah.
But I would love to gamble with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He was a lot of fun after a show. We would, thank God for him, because I don't love anything more than chicken wings and a really bar steak. Like, that's just, and Ron was always down to find the hole in the wall place and just get some good / bar food and drink a couple beers and just like cut up. And if that is going to be one of the things I miss the most.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, and in the future, if you're somewhere and you're like, I'm going to get me this some real bad sirloin.
Yeah, I'm gonna think of Ronnie the whole time. Well, so the other thing, one of our traditions too, and even with Chick and Christy when we would travel together, is if there was a Chili's in the airport, we were getting a bag of chips and a salsa. And we didn't share our bag of chips. Everybody gets their own bag. But we would be running late. Like from like making a connection, not to make a Kenny Tarmac reference too, but yeah, one of us would run to the gate thinking that we were going to hold up the plane while the other one was getting Chili's chips and salsa
to bring on the plane.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes. And then like the chunkles we were, where we put the little table down and we're just like, yeah, let's go, and we'd devour, and those chips are warm. Oh my gosh. So I've been in an airport twice since Ronnie passed, and I have stopped for chips and salsa both times. Yeah.
Is the salsa that good, or is it more the chips?
To be honest, not as good as I remembered. But when you're starving and it's that time of day and you're getting on a plane, like it just became a tradition more than anything.
You know, the Chili's where I live, I was a little upset. You know, I don't know what it is with design of buildings lately, but everybody's simplifying, and like there's no character. There's some Panera buildings that could just be an office building, just a little just lame. Anyway, I noticed that the Chili's on my they just painted it brown, pretty simple, and then the Chili's sign, the apostrophe was what?
It was a hot pepper.
Yeah,
red pepper.
It was a chili.
It's now a green pepper.
Huh?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Because I don't want any red or anything on the wall.
Oh, because it's not aesthetically pleasing.
Something, but I noticed it. I'm like, why are you making
it
more
still
boring?
A chili, though.
Yeah,
but is it?
Yeah,
there's way a green more chili.
Green yeah, green chilies is more of a chili. Southwest thing.
Isn't a red chili just a green chili that's overripe?
I think Chili's is a Southwest restaurant.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, they're staying on brand.
But it was red here. And it stood out. It had some character.
You know, honestly, if I did
see
it.
With all of
you. You said it was on brown. Maybe that's why. Although where my boothing works, his logo was red. And where they built a store, they were not allowed to have red on the building.
Yeah.
Everything had to be black and white.
Yeah, because the ordinance in that area.
Yeah, so stupid.
And then as soon as those people that own that lot sold or whatever, new proprietors, whatever, they got a sign out front because of that. They wouldn't even buy a sign out front. The owner was like, well, the hell with you, I'm not gonna put the sign up because I want red anyway.
Yeah,
they end up getting a big red sign as soon as they could. It's funny.
That's so weird.
Just let people be who they want to be, whatever color, whatever logo. Give them the red pepper.
Stop being boring.
Yeah, I don't like
that's
it.
My thing.
I don't. I mean, architecture is like they. I don't know how you get the same degree today that you got 30 years ago.
Anyone could do these buildings, right?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
So lame. Jeff, your thoughts on architecture?
I have none on that, but I was thinking about hanging out with Ron after shows, which I did not do much because I am a person. I don't hang out after shows because I don't like people and. The best part about working with Ron, I open for a lot of bigger names because people are nice to me and they take me to open for them. And I've opened for Ron probably 150 times or more. And most of the time you go up and you do your 30 minutes and then you wait for an hour, hour and a half till they're done. Then you go walk back on stage and you go, hey, thanks for coming out tonight. And then you get to go home. But with Ron, he would just be like, dude, you don't have to wait. And when he would come up on stage, he would palm me. We would shake hands and he would hand me cash and we would slide out and I would be in my car before he was done saying, hey, thanks for coming out tonight. You sons of bitch, whatever. I loved it. But before the show, we would hang out in the green room and my girlfriend would just be amazed because Ron would go from one voice, depending on what you were talking about, he would be in his normal voice. Then he's doing James Gandolfini. Now he's back to his normal voice. Now he's doing Donnie. Then he's doing Kenny. Then he's doing Rick. And just in his normal conversations, mm-hmm. and to see all these amazing voices mm-hmm. come out of the same head mm-hmm. and the same mouth is just mind blowing. Mm-hmm. And like he would go out to get a drink of water, and Maggie would just be like, "How does he do that?" I'm like, "I don't know. It drives me nuts. It's amazing." Mm-hmm. Like I've always been amazed at people who can do voices, but he did it so effortlessly. Mm-hmm. And each one of his characters was so different. Like and no offense to like Frank Caliendo, mm-hmm. he wasn't doing famous people. He was making up characters out of the blue mm-hmm. and having these great backstories and these great, you know, messing up, you know, lines for Donnie. But with Kenny, he would have his own, you know, kind of lingo. And then with
Floyd,
oh my gosh, the lingo there and the stuff. And each character was so unique and individual and mm-hmm. had so many different layers. Mm-hmm. It was just amazing what was coming out of that man's head. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'll ever see it again in my lifetime.
Yeah, the thing to add to that point, the brilliance of him was he would find whatever. Let's say he was wanting to make fun of your hat. And he would think of a joke, whatever it was, real quick, and mm-hmm. then slide it right into one of his personality voices.
Right.
And you didn't even see it. Mm-hmm. Right. You didn't see it. How did that happen so quickly? And he would nail it.
And I would be on the floor.
Yeah.
I laughed mm-hmm. more before the show every time I worked with him than any other comic I've ever worked with ever in 15, 20 years. I mean,
yeah.
Just amazing how – and just – laid back, like most comics before mm-hmm. a show are a-holes, they're nervous, they don't want to talk, and he would just be so relaxed and just going in and out of voices and yeah. mm-hmm. and just I would just be on the floor laughing yeah. before, and what a great way to start the show as a comic, because then you're already in a funny mood, and good you're mood, coming yeah. out in a good mood because Ron just put you in one of yeah. the funniest Aww. Moods ever by doing his characters, and yeah. it was so good. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite things, we did a winery, and I went up and did 15 minutes, and then he came up and did Floyd the Trucker, mm-hmm. but he stood in the back of the room. He goes, "You be like, oh, hey, is that Floyd in the back of the room? I'll come up," and he did a few jokes, so he did Turtles and Whores. Mm-hmm. And then I went back up and did 20 minutes, and then he came back out as Donnie and did an hour.
Wow.
So after the show, we're standing there, and he's signing autographs, and I'm taking pictures for him because no one wants to talk to me. And, hey, why don't you come over here and take a picture? I got you. But these two girls came up, and they go, "Hey, we want to meet Floyd." Mm-hmm. And I go, that's not going to happen. And they're like, "No, we are huge. Like, go backstage and tell Floyd that there are two girls here who want to party." And Ron's standing a foot away from me, and they have no idea the same character who did mm-hmm. Floyd does Donnie. And they were begging, "We'll do anything for you if you let us meet Floyd." And I walked to the door, and I looked outside, and I go, "Oh, I don't see a semi here. He must have left." And they go, "Oh, he missed out."
Yeah.
And had no clue.
Smart on you, though.
Yeah, that was great.
It was amazing, though, that these people were at the show. Mm-hmm. They talked. They saw Floyd 5 feet away from him and saw Donnie 5 feet away and had no idea it was the same person.
Yeah. I think
that's
that happened
how
a
good
lot.
He was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That happened a lot with Donnie. Like that one. I remember that evolution of Ron going, I can't not talk as Donnie after a show. I can't be at a signing table and go in and out from Ron and Donnie. These people don't want to talk to Ron.
No. Yeah.
They want to talk to Donnie. And him finally just staying married to the character the entire time he was signing mm-hmm. and after that. But to what you said, like his brain went at a speed that I don't think that I'll ever understand. The creativity and the things that he produced in such a short amount of time or on the fly, like that was just it was wild. And what was so funny when you said about like if he were gonna make fun of your hat, this is what he would do.
Yeah.
And that's how as Ronnie would say, busting bowls, he would do that, but he couldn't do it as Ron because he was too nice of a guy.
Right.
So he would dip into a character and bust your balls, you know? Yeah. And it's just, I miss, and it's weird to say character, but I miss him in all of his uniqueness.
Yeah, Ron was Ron, as you said, and he was a nice, sweet guy. But his spices of him all that of was it. Still him yeah. were those characters.
Yeah. yeah.
So can I tell a quick story? I don't Please. Know if I've told this before, and it's kind of about Ron in and out of his character. But I took my dad to see a comedy show, and it was the Bob and Tom. Well, Floyd was there. It was very exciting. April Macy, I think. And they were trying to do something, I think, for Fox.
Yeah, I remember that. I don't remember what it was called.
It was at
yeah.
Crackers and Broad Ripple. Anyway, I bring my dad. And my dad got to meet Christy Lee. And he's like, oh, you're freaking out. This is like when I first started working at the station. I would always talk to Ron because he would come out. I worked at the lobby, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But when I get to, you know, Donnie in the line, and I introduce my dad, I'm like, hey, Dad, this is Ron. And he drops a character, goes, hi, Mr. Alsman, nice to meet you. You know, we love working with Jessica. She's so great, blah, blah, blah. And my dad goes, oh, you don't have to drop the act for me. And I'm like mortified immediately, but without missing a beat, Ron goes, oh, man, we love Jessica. She likes to get up on that front desk and shake her ass like a Motley Crue video. It's bad. And my dad was just like, yay! Defile my daughter. This is amazing. Because I grew up listening. My dad always listened. So he wanted Donnie. He kind of wanted the Donnie Baker experience.
Right, yeah,
and I'm mortified and embarrassed when it happened, but Ron didn't miss a beat, and he didn't care. He's like, oh, no, blah, blah, blah. It's part of it. And I was just like, oh, thank God. That
worked out. That's awesome. That was wonderful. That's Ron. He gave you what you wanted.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Super generous.
Yeah.
Loved his fans.
Yeah.
Very much.
Oh, man. There were times after shows, 2 hours, 3 hours.
He was out there.
He's standing there talking to people, taking pictures, signing. Yeah. I mean, just loved his fans and appreciated and understood that what they did for him in his life, and he gave it back to them 100%. And I never once saw him cut someone off who was rambling.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, all right, next.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, it's good. Like, and, you know, we talked to him for 15 minutes with 300 people still in line.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, you're being too nice, dude. You got to move this along. But, and he would stay till every last person. Mm-hmm. And then the staff, wherever wanted, you know, would come up and want pictures and to talk. And he would sit there and talk for hours after shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'm going home. I don't want to talk to any of you. And he would stay. He would do it. And I always respected that about him.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of phones out there with a lot of Donnie Baker pictures. You know. Yeah.
Yeah.
The first time I ever got to sign breasts as a comedian was opening for Donnie Baker.
Yeah.
And that was like a big deal for me. I was like, oh. And then if you would have saw the way I did it, I could not have held the pen more further away from the I just kind of like Zorro'd it because I was so uncomfortable.
You're the most polite guy. So the fact that you even attempted that.
I was very embarrassed. But at the same time, I was like, oh, I'm a rock star. I got to sign a breast.
Yeah, definitely.
What were they like? Were they?
I didn't look. I looked away.
Left or right?
I modestly.
Excuse me, ma'am.
No, that one show, I had like 5 different breasts I got to sign.
Wow, really?
It was crazy.
I kind of feel like if someone's offering that up, you almost need to like grab one to kind of firm it up.
That's how
you
other
know?
People do it. But I'm terrified.
If you're, if you're terrified of breasts in lawsuits,
No, I seriously, I could not have held the pen further away. Just
that happened in Bowler. Some boyfriend offered his girlfriend's boobs for me to sign, and I was like, no.
Yeah, that's always weird. I will say this, and it's a true story, and I don't care. After the show with Ron one time, this guy came up, and he goes, man, my daughter, can she get a picture with you? And she was of age.
Yeah.
But barely. And, And his daughter turns completely around and like bends over, looking over her shoulder, like in front of him, like the, you know, doggy style motion. He goes, yeah, that's a good one. Get that picture.
Oh, my.
And Rob just looks at me and we both just roll our eyes. Next.
Yeah.
Wow. Try to get real good.
Come on, get in there, sissy.
That's going to be on the Christmas card.
Exactly. It's probably on this year's Christmas card.
Oh, my God.
That's funny.
All right, well, let's play another bit here. We have favorite Christmas memories, so we can go from favorite gig memories to favorite Christmas memories from Donnie Baker himself. Here we go.
Hi, Bob and Tom. It's Donnie Baker, man.
Hi, Donnie.
Maybe I'm getting a little softer as I get older, but Christmas time gets me a little misty-eyed more and more each year. Mm-hmm. I swear to God it does. And the other night, I come home. My mom, Phyllis, is watching that one Christmas movie. The Sounds of Music. Well, I didn't watch all of it. I just walked in during that part when Martha Stewart was singing about her favorite things. So I figured, why not reminisce about a few of my favorite things? Mm-hmm. All right, Boner, get the keyboard. Jingle them ivories. Man, every Christmas reminds me of the good times. And there's certain smells and sounds I remember every time I do something Christmassy. Mm-hmm. Like drinking eggnog. Man, I can't drink eggnog without remembering that feeling I got holding back your hair while you puke. And I'm talking to you, Patty. Sure, I could do it back then, but now you've gained so much weight there wouldn't be enough room for the both of us in that porta potty. I swear to God that's true. Man, lots of things get to me. Like the soft glow of the police lights flickering off the icicles as they arrest my best friend for flipping off an undercover cop.
Ooh.
And I agree with you, Scotty. If they were undercover, then how'd they see it anyways? That's entrapment, and I'd say it right to their face. How can they prove you weren't flipping off the no parking sign behind them?
Uh-huh.
I know. Or the feeling I used to get every time I walked into Hooters with a new puppy. I swear to God it worked. Every waitress in a bar would smother me, man. I'd be surrounded, half of them wanting to hold the puppy, the other half wanting to hold the pork. Hell, for 2 years, my nickname in Hooters was Pound Puppy. I swear to God it was. You can look it up.
Uh-huh.
And I'm pretty sure that's where they got the name for them stuffed animals anyways.
Oh, yeah?
Man, Hooters was a great place to raise a pet. They got a million leftover chicken wing bones and plenty of paper towels. But I'll admit, man, sometimes it was hard for them little Dobermans to drink water out of a pitcher.
Oh.
But there's something about a crisp chill in the air that brings back the memories of Christmas time. Like seeing your breath when you fart. And I can do it because I'm triple jointed in my neck. I swear to God that's true. And that comes in handy when you're trying on a new pair of jeans.
Uh-huh.
Or scraping off your windshield on a cold winter morn with a Clay Aiken CD. And for your information, that's the only thing it's good for, Randy, and I'd say it right your face. Or reaching in the glove box and wiping the frost off of fresh rubber. But what bites my ass is I shouldn't have to thaw them out, Angel. That's your job. But I think the best feeling every holiday season is getting that phone call on Christmas morning. You know, the phone call from someone you ain't heard from in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And hearing them three magical words that really bring the Christmas season together.
Yeah.
It ain't yours. I swear to God it ain't. So Merry Christmas, man. I gotta go.
Well, it wouldn't be Donnie Baker if he didn't have a pregnancy test around Christmas, right?
The gift that keeps on giving.
Oh my gosh. I just love the way he says pound puppy.
Oh, pound puppy.
Pound puppy.
Yeah.
Dude, think of all the phrases he started. State law, swear to God. Mm-hmm. Like, I know we've all say, I swear to God, but
He made him famous.
He made swear to God and state law.
Say like, it right to your face.
Say it right to your face. I've heard people who have no idea who he is say state law.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's in the common lexicon now. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so funny to me.
Yeah.
I wonder when he first did that.
Very early on.
Which album is that?
I don't know. I did 8 of them of his. So it was an early
one. But before the state law album?
The very first album was Boat for Sale.
Right.
I know that one because it had a gold cover.
And tell me that you every time you see a boat for sale on the side of the road, you don't think of Ron.
A real crappy boat.
Yeah. Where I'm from, they're all crap.
I posted my boat for sale and got so many
swear to gods.
So many that I was just like, I'm taking it down. I get that you're trying to make the joke, but like some of them went like, and not to be serious, but for a split second, like I know that he was a character to a lot of you guys, but he was very much our friend.
Right.
And so when people try to make the joke I just have gone straight for the truth and say, you guys, Ron was my friend and he died, and I am still mourning him. And if you could just chill out a little bit, I would really appreciate it. Yeah. And most of the time, people are fine. Other times, people block me and say, whatever. But yeah, I mean, I get it. I get that he was a part of our daily lives, but it's a little more intense for those of us still. I mean, like, 5 months is not long.
No. Mm-mm. And not to be insensitive, but what kind of boat do you
have? Not anything that Donnie could ever afford.
Which means Jeff can't afford it either.
The Steven Seagal. Like, when Steve, like, my mom freaking loves Steven Seagal. It was in her top five guys to want a bone, right? So when this started becoming like a thing, well, you know what? And I guarantee, not to be. My mom can now tell Ron that. So.
Yes. Yes.
Anyway, I'm sure he's doing it for, you know, on the cloud in heaven.
Hey, baby, I'll do you.
Oh, I guarantee my mom is just like, yes, again, just like my dad. Make me laugh. But no, the Steven Seagal thing was so funny. Like, we would do that all the time. Gosh, I don't know. I keep wanting to say high school. It might have been too early. Might not have been. But it's when he became a cop, right? He did
there
a
was
reality
a show.
Show.
There was a reality show. Oh. It was like Lawman or whatever. And that was it was the same gag every time he called.
It was so funny every single time.
And then our buddy Matt would be man on the street and go, you know, what's up, Stallone?
Easy,
you know,
Stallone.
And Stallone. And just like, piss him off.
Oh, Chinese five stars or whatever. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Like, that was just the greatest thing ever for my family because it would just become one of those things we'd always say, like, hey, man, I'm Steven Seagal. I made my living in the movies. Oh, God.
I'm Lawman. That's what he usually would end the call with, is Lawman.
But he has to make, I used to, I'd be a lawman, then now I'm actually doing this. He's like, whatever the news story was, now I'm actually a garbage man or something. I can't, I'm not funny like that. I can't write that genius, but it was always so funny.
Who's the guy that was, he acted like a lawman, he was older, had the yellowish.
The bounty hunter?
Yes. Did he ever do an impression of him, or did he just talk about him?
He probably just talked about him. I could see where Ron would really like that TV show. Yeah.
Or his wife.
Whatever her name was. Maybe he referred to them at a time when they were on the TV a lot.
I bet.
Yeah.
That might have been, that was probably the same time.
Probably was.
Everyone was doing their shows, different networks.
Yeah.
Coming up with a different angle.
Coach Ralph Fontaine.
Oh, my God. That was and that's a more recent one, but I mean.
Is that the Tickany?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, another funny, you know, just common thing.
All those things that you heard as kids. Like, I don't think kids today hear those kinds of things when they're being coached, but I know we did. Yeah.
Well, but even to add one to it that become a part of it that we never heard, but you kind of relate it. Give me two Chick McGee's, a Jess Hooker, and a Jeff, and I'll win you a semi. I mean, who's ever said that? It became such a part of it.
Yeah.
So funny.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
So good.
I love it. By the way, if you're wanting to hear some more of older Ron pieces, the Bits and Pieces podcast number 42, we did a tribute with Tim Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not any Donnie Baker, Kenny Floyd stuff.
Yeah.
But Ron was so close to Tim. We had him in and we played some Tim bits and talked about Tim. He had some great Tim stories. So that's Bits and Pieces number 42. If you haven't gone back and listened to that one, as well as Christy Lee did an interview when she had a little podcast called Uninterrupted. She did one with Ron, which is fantastic. I mean, they kind of get into some nitty gritty of what he does and what, you know, and how he does it.
Yeah.
Because Christy was a little more of a straight and wonderfully serious podcast, but not too serious. It was like wasn't entertaining. It was great. It was great. I listened to it over the summer, late summer. Just because I needed it, I guess.
Yeah.
But those are a couple things out there that you might enjoy.
And Ron did a great Tim Wilson impression.
Oh. He did. I still to this day do Ron doing Tim.
Yes.
Yeah. That was after when we would travel and after Tim died. I could be like spazzing out backstage and Ronnie would say Jesse the same way that Tim would say it. Mm-hmm. And he would like, it was almost like my calm down, you know, like, hey, like bring it in. And, I spent so much time for at a very intense few years. I spent so much time with Tim and Ron.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were the ones that were on the shows every weekend with me. And then it would be Chick and Christy that would rotate as hosts. And so it was the three of us. I just can't believe they're gone.
Yeah. Those are some solid, deep roots you had with them. And traveling with people, man, I mean, that you're going to get close to people. Yeah, you're going to get real close to people. You're either going to kill them or you're going to love them even more.
I saw Ron almost jump across a gas station counter and punch out a guy because we couldn't find the directions to the right airport. And I think we were in Detroit and we didn't even, Ron's like, I didn't even know Detroit had two airports. Like, it was the most angry I've ever seen him. He was so angry. And there was a language barrier and there was just, it was 5 o'clock in the morning. Only time I ever saw Ron just completely lose it. As Ron.
Did he slide into Tony Soprano, though, probably?
No, it was one of those moments where we just got in the car and rode in complete silence to airport. Yeah, it was an intense one. But it was like, I don't think we'd slept for 48 hours. Like, it was one of those where there was just, it was intense. But going back, when we get on the plane and we're calmed down and we just start laughing hysterically, repeating the crazy shit that he said.
While you snacked on your Chili's chips.
Yeah, exactly.
Gosh. And I'm guessing at some point Tim Wilson said, Ronnie, I thought you were going to kill that man.
Oh, gosh. Oh, that was funny.
His Tony Soprano is the best Tony Soprano I've ever heard. And every time I hear Tony Soprano, I just want to say, and on my mother's birthday. every time. Yeah. Like that.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah.
He would hit those, he would find the thing.
Yeah.
And just like no one else could.
Yeah.
It was great.
I say they because it's two of his characters. The Belly Up with James Gandolfini, Tony Soprano, and Charles Barkley. I mean, he did like 50 of these.
So good.
And a lot of it was just Tony eating and getting pissed off at a candy bar. Just,
and that mismatch. Like, yes. Oh, my gosh.
That album I do next year will definitely have some of those on there.
Oh, it has
I promise you.
Will you put Dr. Phil on there?
Yes.
I love Dr. Phil.
Another thing. It ain't about you.
Have you read my books? have you seen my tapes?
Well, it's the only time I ever liked that guy. It's when Ron was doing an impression.
I love that eventually.
It's not about you.
Because Bob Kavoyan truly hated Dr. Phil. He just didn't get him and just was annoying, whatever. And then once Ron started calling as Dr. Phil frequently, and he kept saying those same things, Bob started replying. Yeah. Have you read my books? No. Have you seen my tape? No. He just kept.
That's so funny.
I'm like, no. I want to go, Bob, no, it's Ron. It's not really Dr. Phil.
Oh my God.
He captured him pretty well, though.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
I mean,
just because you can, and then he would just have the most off the wall.
Yeah. Did he ever do any girl voices? I know that sounds random, but just thinking, like, I feel like at one point there might have been a one off where he did call in as somebody, but I don't think he did.
I asked him once if he actually in Cincinnati this year when I was talking to him, I was like, have you ever thought about doing, you know, Donnie Baker's mom, do Phyllis Baker? Mm. Like, maybe it's the Mother's Day, something like that. And he's like, I never thought about that, but that'd be kind of interesting.
Oh, man. I totally forgot about it. So was Phyllis's mom or his stepmom?
His stepmom.
Okay. We never heard about the real mom.
There was some odd sexual tension there, so I think there's definitely a stepmom.
I'm glad you brought up Cincy because I was thinking about Louisville the year before, which he and the Pork Pistols were there. Mm-hmm. And I was going to mention that his last album that I did, I believe it's called Unmasked, had a few songs, and they're parody songs, but Working for Minimum Wage, Scottie Pippen Face, something about... some white boys, something. Anyway.
The Working for Minimum Wage video has a cameo from yours truly.
Yes,
oh, okay.
It does.
So, and from you, too. We're both in it.
Just barely, yes.
You're great.
I'm barely in it. But, you know, he was really proud of that album, and not necessarily because of the phone calls or anything, but those songs he worked on with his buddy Scotty Winkler, in quotes. helped write the music for that. But he when we were working on that, he's like, man, Jason, these songs are so great. These are the best ones I've written.
Yeah.
And then I got them to put on the album, and I'm like, oh my gosh, they were. And they didn't really get played on the air, fine, whatever, but he got to play them live at Louisville. So I don't know if that stream is out there.
Yeah.
But that's worth going back and watching those Donnie Baker and the Pork Pistol songs. He did a one-off about a Kia, by the way, at that one as well, getting his Kia keyed.
Based on true events.
Yeah, so much true events. But there's some great songs on there. There's one that's not for air that's probably worth it, too. It's a little, yeah. Anyway.
Drew just informed me that he kind of did a Caitlyn Jenner voice.
Oh!
So,
and on that note...
Well, I don't know if we'll do another one next year. Maybe next Christmas. Who knows?
Maybe we just hit the high notes here in Indianapolis. The race and Christmas.
Right. Yeah. But no, we have the show itself should be on the road a little more this year, coming up in 2024. So we've been told.
Yeah, look
no
for
details
us.
From this guy.
Maybe we could do a live podcast after the broadcast.
Oh my gosh, people love that.
Right, you guys in?
Yeah. Okay. Let's just go back to Wisconsin. Everyone would show right back up. Like, we're doing this again.
We could drive up there like once a month. Yeah.
And you all can be on it. Yeah. We'll bring your own microphone. It would help.
Mm-hmm. We're going to need a lot more microphones.
And a USB-C.
Eddie, how many microphones we got? Yeah. We're going to need some more. Yeah. So, well, thank you for joining us. Jess, thank you for your heartfelt thoughts on Ronnie. Jess, great stories. Jeff, thanks for joining us. It's been you had some great experiences with Ron. We all did, and we all kind of have different angles, but at the end of the day we all have the same experience of how great and wonderful a friend he was, how great of a talent he was, and obviously we all miss him.
As
long as we work here, we're going to do our best to not let any of this stuff go to waste. You know, we have plenty of stuff in the archives, if you will. So Ronnie, we miss you, and we'll be back next time, hopefully in 2024.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.